Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
So in March, the UN decided to release some guidelines about the international effort to decriminalize drug addiction, gay sex, trans identity, and prostitution. And it just so happened to say that kids can consent to sex.
Slightly worrying coming from the UN, isn't it?
Yeah, we fund it. We shouldn't. We should, as JFK once said of the CIA, break it up into 1,000 pieces and scatter it to the winds, because they have shown their corruption time and time again over the centuries, including placating the Soviet Union with their definition of free speech to allow the Soviet Union to haul off anyone as long as the state doesn't like what they say. So they are a corrupt institution that has no respect for human dignity and clearly no respect for childhood innocence either. So let's go over to this over on the UN AIDS website. Yes, it is for exactly what you're thinking. It's called the New Legal Principles, launched on International Women's Day to advance decriminalization efforts. So happy International Women's Day, women. You're no longer women, which is one of the policies in here, considering trans identity. In 2023, 20 countries criminalize or otherwise prosecute transgender people. 67 countries still criminalize same-sex sex. 115 report criminalizing drug use. More than 130 criminalize HIV exposure, non-disclosure, and transmission. And over 150 countries criminalize some aspect of sex work. Though they don't mention children in here, but they do in the report. And a lot of the times, and this is something that Harry brought up on his segment on the S&P, these reports are filled with such dull jargon and LinkedIn infographics that it discourages people actually digging through it. So this is why this hasn't come on many people's radar until about a month later. But a lot of people started circulating screenshots of the report on Twitter and reporting on it in online outlets, and very few people dug through it in full. So I thought I'd do a full segment just going through the paper and seeing what its principles are and how disgusting some of these things are. Because last time when we discussed Swindon Council's sex education guidance, we had a win because that actually made it into the parliamentary inquiry. So hopefully, I don't know, any discerning politician that's on our side, and there are a few, actually, I've heard from some of them, will take a look at this and go, I think we might want to reassess how much money we're giving to the UN.
We shouldn't give any.
No, I agree.
I don't agree with them as an organisation.
Yeah, I disagree with pretty much all supernatural governments.
Also, why would they want to decriminalise not admitting to having HIV? Because that was one of the things that was written there. So They're actively
spreading AIDS. we'll talk about the motivations as to why later on. It's not libelous to say that the UN wants to make pedophilia legal, not just decriminalise it, legal. Okay, let's get into this. So the introduction is written by Edwin Cameron, a retired justice on the Constitutional Court of South Africa, a country that's showing just swimmingly with its respect for human rights. And he says, from long years in the law and as a proudly gay man, I know profoundly how criminal law signals which groups are deemed worthy of protection and which of condemnation and ostracism, anarcho-tyranny in action. In this way, the criminal law performs an expressive function and it has dramatic consequences on people's lives. I think this is a major self-report. As a gay man, I identify with these laws that want to abolish sex with children. Bit weird, but okay. The 8th of March principles for human rights-based approach to criminal law prescribing conduct associated with sex, reproduction, drug use, HIV, homelessness, and poverty, published by the International Commission of Jurists, are a timely intervention addressing the detrimental human rights impact of criminal laws targeting vulnerable groups, like paedophiles. The principles aim to be practically useful for the widest range of stakeholders. There's that WEF buzzword again. Stakeholders, for anyone that doesn't know, just means whoever the experts appoint to rule over you, and saying they have an interest in this particular topic, therefore they get to set the agenda.
So, yeah, well, Klaus Schwab wants stakeholder capitalism, doesn't he?
Yes, and the UN's 17 Sustainable Development Goals are the criteria by which the World Economic Forum's donut economy is going to operate on. So those two institutions have harmonised in their agendas, and that's why both of them focus on 2030. And we'll talk about the SDGs later on and how they're being expressly marketed to kids, and this is part of the SDGs. So they're saying decriminalise sexual activity with children, and marketing it to children specifically in a really weird way. But we'll go on. They seek to offer clear, accessible and workable legal frameworks, as well as practical legal guidance on applying criminal law to conduct associated with sexual and reproductive health and rights, including termination of pregnancy, consensual sexual activities, including contexts such as sex outside of marriage, same-sex sexual relations, adolescent sexual activity and sex work, gender identity and expression, HIV non-disclosure, exposure or transmission, drug use and possession of drugs for personal use, and homelessness and poverty. And the reason it does all that is because it's dripping with intersectional premises, because one of the paragraphs starts with recognizing that people may experience discrimination on one or multiple intersecting grounds of discrimination prohibited by international human rights law, and then it lists them all off. But obviously that's only unilaterally applied, because childhood innocence and not discriminating against white people is obviously something they're not particularly bothered about. In recent years, in some quarters, there has been a backlash against human rights, especially against sexual and reproductive health rights, and the human rights of women, lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, non-binary, gender diverse, and intersex persons, as well as sex workers, people who use drugs, and people experiencing homelessness and or living in poverty. I can't possibly imagine why.
Well, I covered the Uganda bill that banned same-sex marriage, and they directly say that, we were willing to let people
do as they please.
Until the UN and foreign countries started trying to pressure us into doing this.
And also until people started noncing kids in public.
Mm-hmm. Well, there were prominent cases that did motivate this. A school teacher was an example in Uganda. They also mentioned the fact that Western countries were pumping in lots of money to artificially generate causes and outsize their influence that wouldn't be organic to Uganda had they not received all of this external money.
Yeah.
And they see it as, well, they're promoting values that are antithetical. They're a foreign country interfering in our culture. Well, why are we going to put up with that? Well, we're going to push back against it.
Yeah, well, what countries are doing is taxing their citizens near to death so they can't own homes, so they can give money to supranational organizations which overrule their ability to govern their lives as they see fit and undermine domestic national sovereignty. And it's just an extortion racket for them to do untoward things to children. Time and time again, criminal law provisions enshrining discriminatory prescriptions may be rooted in, embody, and codify unequal power relations that in turn are often the legacy of colonial, xenophobic, racist, sexist, classist, ableist, cultural, religious, social, political, economic, and other power dynamics.
Wow, the full set.
Yeah, it's just, thank you for the poker royal flush of religious genuflection there.
Always in the same order as well, almost like it's been memorized and it's recited every time.
Yeah, it's just a banal regurgitation. But there's clear Foucauldianism in there, and it's saying that any disequilibrated power dynamics is evidence of oppression. And I just suppose it's a coincidence that Foucault went and raped small boys in Tunisia to the point of where he probably got AIDS and died. I'm sure there's no connection whatsoever. This is directed at legislators of all levels, judges, including magistrates presiding over criminal cases, and judicial benches in higher courts, such as constitutional and supreme courts. So they're trying to change the institutions because oftentimes culture is in fact downstream of law and politics. So the principles are, principle one, principle of legality. Criminal law must not proscribe any act or omission in terms that are vague, imprecise, arbitrary, and overly broad. We'll see how this document falls at the first hurdle. Principle two, the harm principle. This is their standard of morality. Criminal law may only prescribe conduct that inflicts or threatens substantial harm to the fundamental rights and freedoms of others, or to certain fundamental public interests, namely national security, public safety, public order, public health, or public morals.
So it's whatever the government wants.
Exactly, yeah. So it's not even just the John Stuart Mill or Lysander Spooner harm principle that says you have an inviolable right to bodily autonomy, which means that if anyone else tries to stop you from doing something that inflicts no harm on others, like taking drugs or promiscuity, that is an unjust imposition on your human rights.
I agree with that, yeah.
I don't at all. I think you can do things that are terrible and bad for you, and that doesn't make them moral. I think legal prescriptions are sometimes required to save people from themselves.
I think that, generally speaking, society is better at policing morality than the government. And actually, the government creates more immorality than it can quash, if you know what I mean.
I can agree with that, absolutely. I just think that lots of people use the harm principle to evade judgment for vices when they are trying to appeal not only to the abolition of state prohibitions against things like drug use, but also they are just trying to say, don't judge me, bro, because I'm some kind of degenerate. And I don't think that is a moral principle, let alone just a legal principle.
I mean, people can use a hammer to either build a house or kill someone. So, yeah, I mean, it's
You could hit a nail or a baby. Exactly. But the important thing here is about public health. So this means that the UN is enshrining a definition of the harm principle, which means that the government can lock you down for your own good so that you don't stop stopping the spread. For example, Harry did a video on this debate that we've just had, funnily enough, over on the website, which if you subscribe for £5 a month, you can help us keep the lights on and having discussions like this. You can access all of our premium content. This video is actually free, which was on victimless crimes, and he examined the harm principle rather thoroughly. This video didn't get as much attention as it should have, and it just said, don't get addicted to vices that degrade you and make yourself a good enough person to warrant taking care of other people, and you'll have a meaningful and wholesome life. But people objected to that for some weird reason. Do better. Look after yourself. Don't look to the UN to save you. Anyway, back to the document. Principle 4, voluntary act requirement. No one may be held liable for a criminal offence unless that person is engaged in a voluntary act or omission as defined in that offence. Criminal liability may not be based on thoughts, intentions, beliefs, or status alone. Oh, I suppose hate crimes are no longer a thing then. Oh, no, wait. You're just going to unilaterally apply it because of harm. Mm. Don't look for consistency. This is a deliberate mechanism they use to keep you confused and afraid of the arbitrary application of the law at all times. So that keeps them as the power above you, because if you can't understand the law, interpret it for yourself, and act on daily life, you are acting on a system of permissions granted to you by the state. So it preserves their power and keeps the populace terrified.
I mean, 100 years ago, this sort of document would be something that would be scrawled on a roll of toilet roll in a padded room somewhere. Like, where on earth is this? Well, I know where it's coming from, but...
Yeah, commie nonsense.
Yeah. What sane person puts things in these terms?
We'll see that they're not particularly sane people. Principle 9, criminal law and prohibited discrimination. Prohibited grounds of discrimination instantiated in these laws include age, sex, sex characteristics, gender, sexual orientation, gender identity, gender expression, race, colour, national or social origin, nationality, citizenship, ethnicity, disability, immigration status. So... you are subject to this whether or not you're an illegal or not. So absolutely no national sovereignty. Propriety, birth or descent, including on the basis of caste and analogous systems of inherited status. Language, religion or belief, political or other opinion. Obviously, that's not going to be applied consistently. Membership of a particular social group, marital or family status, pregnancy, childbirth, parenthood, health status, including HIV status or drug dependence, economic and social status, occupational status, place of residence, indigenous identity or status, or minority or other status.
So does criminal law apply to anything?
Yes, seemingly so. Anything that they decide to in the moment.
Well, anything that goes against the interests of the state and their overlords.
Yeah, anything that doesn't keep you dependent, because they literally say in there that being drug dependent is a protected characteristic, even though that's a choice.
Well, I mean, addiction isn't necessarily a choice. People don't choose to be addicted, but made a choice.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. You. It's not, well, actually, I will stop myself from saying that, because most people are not born addicted to drugs. But the UN goes out of its way to deliberately instantiate the right for mothers to get their unborn children addicted to drugs. They say that in here. It's mental. So part 3 is where it all kicks off, all right? Principle 14, sexual and reproductive health rights. Criminal law may not in any way impair the right to make and act on decisions about one's own body, sexuality and reproduction, such as about pregnancy, contraception, including emergency contraception, comprehensive abortion care. What an oxymoron. Killing a baby is caring. Prophylaxis for sexually transmitted infections, gender-affirming care and therapy, and or access to health facilities, services, and goods, including information. So there's a few things in this. First of all, comes down solely on the side of maximizing the autonomy of the mother up until and including the point of killing your own baby because you want to go and pursue your career or go to Bali or something at the expense of the life and bodily inviolability of the unborn child, who doesn't get to make decisions about their own body because they surely better like to live rather than having their brains crushed and sucked out by a vacuum. It also affords positive rights to recent technological inventions, including contraception, birth control, and the like. So you can just invent rights, ex nihilo. You have an entitlement to condoms.
Well, this is my objection to human rights more generally. Yep. Obviously, I'm very big on, you know, not having the government infringe on what I do.
Negative rights.
Yes. But... let's be honest, lots of these things are just a wish list, like a progressive shopping list of rights.
Yeah.
And it's nonsense. I mean, the truth be told, there's no objective human rights, are there?
No.
You have natural rights in a sense, in that there are things intrinsic to being a human being that clearly are better for the human being in question.
Yep.
Like, but it's not up to the government to legislate that, is it really?
No, and you have negotiated boundaries of bodily autonomy that you do have to ground in some sort of objective morality. The Founding Fathers, and I would probably say God, you'd probably say evolution, we can debate that till the cows come home. But mm-hmm. as soon as you ground positive rights in entitlements that are prescribed by a government body, they not just become arbitrary and up to the whim of the government, who can, the same hand that can feed can starve you by taking it away, but also you have to violate the negative rights of someone else to provide the positive rights to someone else. So you have to take from someone else's income and their property that they've earned in order to redistribute it to someone else. So it's just fundamentally immoral, and you're always nicking from someone.
I want the positive rights to always be able to break the law.
Yeah. There's also here instantiated in international law the euphemism of gender affirming care, which just means a genital lobotomy, which means you're just castrating and sterilizing children and vulnerable adults. And this means that obviously trans surgery is now a human right, despite the premise of rights being that you have to use your body to act them out. But the premise of transgenderism is that somehow God or nature got it wrong and your body is oppressing your soul. So how do you enact your rights if you're in the wrong body? But that is a logical contradiction that's never ironed out, because they just want to mutilate children. This is really wild, though. No one may be held criminally liable on the basis that their conduct is alleged to be harmful to their own pregnancy, such as alcohol or drug consumption, or contracting HIV, or transmitting it to the fetus while pregnant, or for their own pregnancy loss. Where the person's conduct might also constitute an independent criminal offence unrelated to their pregnancy, there must be no additional criminal consequences arising from any alleged harm to their pregnancy.
Are they insane?
You can deliberately get HIV, give your fetus fetal alcohol syndrome, take lots of drugs and get them addicted to crack or heroin while in the womb, or just kill them by any means you see fit and suffer no criminal consequences. That is the position that pro-abortion has led you to. You have to confiscate any rights for the child to have a right to life, and so the mother can do any amount of cruelty to the child and have absolutely no responsibility to it.
I don't necessarily agree that this is an inevitability of the pro-abortion argument, but
well, if the child
horrific and bestial, isn't it?
Yeah, but if the child has no independent, inviolable bodily autonomy, then what stops the mother from doing as she wishes up until the point of getting addicted to heroin and then flushing it out, other than your subjective standard of cruelty? You need an objective standard of life. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, this is permissible. It's just true.
I mean, we could go into this, but I'm not.
We did a contemplation on it. It's worthwhile checking out. But Carl actually spoke about this particular thing in a reading of an essay at the live event in October 2021 for anyone who also went. And this is the position of a critical race theorist called Dorothy E. Roberts. And she wrote an essay called "Punishing Drug Addicts Who Have Babies: Women of Color, Equality, and the Right to Privacy." And it's in the critical race theory writings that founded the movement. And I just want to read from this, because this sounds utterly insane, but this is the UN position now. Such government intrusion, prosecuting crack mothers, is particularly harsh for poor women of colour, the least able to conform to the white middle-class standard of motherhood. It exposes the way in which prosecutions deny poor black women a facet of their humanity by punishing their reproductive choices. The government's choice of punitive response perpetuates the historical devaluation of black women as mothers. Poor crack addicts are punished for having babies because they fail to measure up to the state's ideal of motherhood. The harm caused by the prosecution of crack-addicted mothers is not simply the incursion on each individual's crack-addicted decision-making. Rather, it is the perpetuation of a degraded image that affects the status of an entire race. So if you can't have crack babies, it's racial oppression. And that is the opinion of the UN, which we are all taxed to fund.
I also like in that it presupposes that white middle-class standard is by default bad, even though that is basically a placeholder for the nuclear family, which we know for certain is the best structure of a family unit.
Well, it presupposes that it's negative because it's so unattainable for black people. So again,
condescending, isn't it?
Yeah, it sets the lowest common denominator standard and enforces it and keeps them in a state of perpetual servileness, so they're reliant on the state to tell them what to do. So it just so happens to serve the interests of the oligarchy. Principle 15, abortion. No one may be held criminally liable for their pregnancy loss, including a pregnancy loss resulting from an obstetric emergency, such as miscarriage or stillbirth, of course, or for attempting or undergoing an abortion, or for other decisions they make around their pregnancy or childbirth. Criminal law may not proscribe abortion. Abortion must be taken entirely out of the purview of criminal law. So that is abortion at any stages that the UN is pushing, and it's drawing a moral equivalency between the voluntary decision to kill your baby as it's coming out of your canal and you are dilating, cracking its head open and killing it, fully formed baby at 9 months, and the tragedy of a miscarriage. This is just monstrous. Again, stop giving them money. Principle 16, consensual sexual contact. Let's get into it.
I get a bad feeling about this one.
Yeah. Consensual sexual contact, irrespective of the type of sexual activity, the sex, gender, sexual orientation, gender identity, or gender expression of the people involved, or their marital status, may not be criminalized in any circumstances. Consensual same-sex, as well as the consensual different sex relations, or consensual sexual relations with or between trans, non-binary, and other gender-diverse people, or outside marriage, whether premarital or extramarital, may therefore never be criminalized. Moreover, sexual contact involving persons below the domestically prescribed minimum age of consent to sex may be consensual, in fact, if not in law. In this context, the enforcement of criminal law should reflect the rights and capacity of persons under 18 years of age to make decisions about engaging in consensual sexual conduct and their rights to be heard in matters concerning them. Pursuant to their evolving capabilities and progressive autonomy, persons under 18 years of age should participate in decisions affecting them with due regard to their age, maturity, and best interests, with specific attention to non-discrimination guarantees. To translate from that, kids can consent to sex, and that is downstream of anyone who is gender diverse or gay or whatever consenting to sex, because we all make decisions about our own bodies, right? No, children can't consent. It's always rape. You disgusting perverts. Stop trying to dress up your disturbing fetish in pseudo-intellectual jargon. I'm sick of paying for you to try and justify noncing kids. Stop it. But again, this is downstream of a modern progressive pathology, as they said. It's progressive in there, progressive autonomy of the, well, if kids can consent to cutting off their sexual organs, why can't they consent to using them? They shouldn't be able to consent to cutting off their sexual organs. You're mutilating and molesting kids. Stop it. Simple as. Sex work. Principle 17. The exchange of sexual services between consenting adults for money, goods, and services, or communication with another about, advertising an offer for, or sharing premises with another for the purpose of exchanging sexual services between consenting adults for money, goods, or services, whether in a public or private place, may not be criminalized, absent coercion, force, abuse, authority, or fraud. So this is basically legalizing the entire prostitution agency, industry across all UN countries. And
They've got a vested interest in that, because they've been caught out in so many scandals of UN people supposedly helping developing countries.
Yeah, there's a lot of cases of UN aid workers engaging in prostitution of people, particularly below the age of consent. But it's
documented in Liberia. I think people were prosecuted for it.
Well, most of the time they're not prosecuted. They're just subjected to the UN's own internal affairs committee, because as a supernatural organization, you are not required necessarily to go through a domestic court. You could go through an international court, but obviously, given the UN's position of privilege over countries telling them how to run themselves, they don't always subject their own members to legal consequences. I'll put it that way. When they should. Absolutely should. Also, this is just a free permission slip to the global sex trade to just traffic people around the world. And as we discussed in our contemplations on pornography, consent can often be done under duress, with lots of women in the porn industry who have admitted to reliving their childhood trauma over and over, and this is why they can't have normal functional relationships. So the entire industry, whether it's porn or prostitution, have to profit off of someone's damage being relived over and over, and the UN think that's okay? That's just disgusting. Principle 18. Torture's nearly done, don't worry. Sexual orientation, gender identity, and gender expression. No one may be held criminally liable for conduct or status based on their gender identity or gender expression. So if you, as a fully bearded man, wander into a woman's toilet, totally fine according to the UN, no one may be held criminally liable for consensual practices aiming to assist others with the exploration, free development, and or affirmation of sexual orientation or gender identity, unless there was force, coercion, fraud, or medical negligence, or a lack of free and informed decision-making on the part of the person concerned. Now, their standard for informed consent and coercion seems to be uncharitably low, considering they think kids can consent to sex and they had absolutely no problem with vaccine mandates. So excuse me if I don't trust the UN. Practices aiming to change or suppress a person's sexual orientation, gender identity, or gender expression carried out without the concerned person's free and informed consent and decision-making, including through force, coercion, or abuse of authority, may be addressed through other provisions in the criminal law. Basically, we're going to pass the buck to whoever because we just want your kids to be transed. Doesn't matter. Principle 19, HIV. Criminal law may not prescribe non-disclosure of HIV status or exposure to HIV or transmission per se. It's no longer a crime to knowingly give someone AIDS. That was already passed in California, by the way, by Senator Scott Wiener. I'm not making that up.
I know, it's a bit of poetic irony there, isn't it?
But yeah.
This document is just like a documentation of evil. I'm just so depressed.
I'm sorry about
the
this.
State of the world.
Yeah, they want to make the entire world an open-air San Francisco. And they're going to do it with the next two policies, which are the last two. Drug use and possession. Criminal law may not prescribe drug use or the possession, purchase, or cultivation of drugs for personal use, including by anyone under the age of 18 or while pregnant. Children and pregnant women can have and use drugs at any time.
I mean, I don't agree with under 18 or while pregnant, but the other stuff...
Well, I don't agree with plenty of drugs being legal. I don't think fentanyl should be legal.
Well, I do want to draw a line, but I think they should at least be decriminalised and treated as a health problem. And certain ones that aren't non-addictive and non-lethal should definitely be legal.
I don't think it's an incompatible notion that you can treat users as having a health problem and dealers as criminal, because the dealers are knowingly profiting from poisoning people. So I think there's a compromise to be made here. But the UN doesn't. The UN thinks that kids should shoot up drugs. Okay, all right then. Finally, Principle 21. Life-sustaining activities in public places and conduct associated with homelessness and poverty. So what are these life-sustaining activities that they can't be held criminally liable for? Engaging in activities in public places such as begging, panhandling, trading, touting, vendoring, hawking, or other informal commercial activities involving non-contraband items, or engaging in life-sustaining activities in public places such as sleeping, eating, preparing food, washing clothes, sitting or performing hygiene-related activities, including washing, urinating, and defecating, or other analogous activities in public places where there are no adequate alternatives available. It is no longer illegal to take a dump in front of a preschool, according to the UN. It's a public place, it's life-sustaining, so you can just pull down your trousers and defecate on the sidewalk.
This is just like a manifesto of barbarism, isn't it?
Yeah. It's deliberately trying to turn everywhere into a Democrat-run hellhole. They want to degrade you. They want to lower your standard of life. And so they want to reduce you to a servile condition that makes you beg for their intervention because they want to empower themselves. And if there was any doubt that they were marketing this at children, go on to the next one. The UN have partnered with Thomas the Tank Engine. I'm not joking. This is their website.
I wonder what Reverend Audrey would think about that. The very, very conservative Northern Irish priest.
Yeah, I'm suddenly pro-Diesel. I hope it beats all of these trains. Diesel was a Chad, especially in the 2000s animated film with the giant grabber, the mean face. I think Diesel should do more bullying of these useless little engines that push commie agitprop. So they're pushing the 17 Sustainable Development Goals, specifically quality education, gender equality, which is obviously tied up with the prior goal that was released on International Women's Day. So it's pushing policies associated with having kids take drugs and have sex. Sustainable cities and communities, so 15-minute cities. Responsible consumption and production, you will own nothing and you will be happy. And 15, life on land, so climate nonsense. Great. Brilliant. Excuse me if I don't trust the UN people to have the most benevolent intentions towards children. We'll finish with this. This was only a couple of years ago. They had a massive sex scandal that was responsible for 60,000 rapes inside a decade. It's been going on way longer than that.
I didn't realise it was nearly to that extent. I knew it was bad.
Oh, there's more. There was way more. This was just the most recent case they uncovered, but Stephen Crowder went through some statistics. I believe at the time of recording, this would have been yesterday, after I was putting this segment together, and he was talking about documents that were handwritten and faxed since the 90s saying, hey, there's something going on here, and the UN have just routinely covered it up. Andrew McLeod, wow, screwed that up. Andrew McLeod, I believe it is, who was chief of operations at the UN's Emergency Coordination Center, said that predatory abusers use development jobs to get vulnerable people get to vulnerable women and children. He estimated 60,000 rapes have been carried out by UN staff in the past decade, with 3,300 paedophiles working in the organization's agencies. Quote, there are tens of thousands of aid workers around the world with paedophile tendencies, but if you wear a UNICEF t-shirt, no one will ask what you're up to. Turns out, if you produce a report that says kids can consent to sex and shoot up drugs, and it just so happens to serve the interests of 3,300 paedophiles working in your institution, if you just slap a UN label on it, governments will pay for it. So I think mass defunding of the UN and any politicians that are on the ball that hopefully see this segment should open another inquiry into this, because it's just quite simple. Don't nonce kids.
Thanks for watching this segment from the podcast of the Loath Seizers. I sincerely hope you enjoyed it. If you fancy exploring more of the work that we do, you can subscribe to our website, loatheseaters.com, for as little as £5 per month to access all of the premium work that we do. We also have a merch store, which you can access at merch.loatheseaters.com. And if you'd like to find out about more that we're doing on the website and elsewhere, you can follow us on Getter at loatheseaters_com. Thank you and goodbye.